Manx Radio Sport.
Very good evening. Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard. Me and the team here with you for the next half hour to look at the sporting action on Ireland and further afield this weekend, coming up tonight. The Junior Cup final headlines this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures. We get some insight into the Isle of Man athletics team heading to this summer's Ireland Games. The Manx men's hockey squad is getting ready for the 2025 County Championships this weekend across the water, and hundreds of Ireland youngsters are expected to take part in the 2025 Manx Youth Games tomorrow. That is coming up this evening. Friday Sport Preview as we enter what we hope is going to be another glorious weekend here on the Isle of Man. We really have been spoiled over the last couple of weeks with the weather, haven't we? We're hoping that continues over the next couple of weeks, and turning our attention to football on that matter, it's the penultimate weekend of the Manx football season coming up this weekend. Just the three games coming up across Saturday and Sunday, but no less important as the games that have been before. One Cup final is amongst those this weekend. To go through what we do have in store, as ever, is our football correspondent Tony Meppen. Tony, good evening. Blessed with great weather again today, aren't we?
Absolutely. Fantastic, Rob, and I know there's a little bit of rain coming in, possibly on Monday, I hear, but it'd be nice because the pitches are so hard at the moment, and there's a lot of injuries going on and blisters and everything else, but we crack on, we can't fault it, and let's just hope that sort of after TT we get a little bit of rain just to soften the pitches up to allow them to grow.
Indeed. Well, let's take a look at what's going on this weekend. Of course, it has been another busy week, midweek, I should say, in terms of football fixtures that have been taking place. We'll touch on that in just a few moments or so. But looking to Saturday, just the two games taking place, we'll start off chronologically, really, with what's going on in the afternoon, because this is one of the clearing up games, if you like, of the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Foxdale, who still have two more games to play after some postponements earlier in the season, they're coming up against the newly crowned Canada Life Men's Premier League champions. I say newly crowned, it was a few weeks ago now. But this was due to be played at Billy Goat Park, Tony. There's been a switch of venue. Why is that?
Yeah, it is. Basically because Peel have been so patient waiting for the league to be presented, and we've worked with them over the last month or so since they've won it, and it was always on the cards that Foxdale agreed to give up home advantage to allow Peel to receive the trophy at their ground. The only thing was that you've follow them as they've been postponed, and it should have been Foxdale against Ayr United, but I didn't want to miss the moment for Peel, and with working with Ayr United, and thanks to Nick Hurt, he's allowed that to happen, and we've got the game on. So it'll be Foxdale against Peel at Peel. We're going slightly earlier, 2 o'clock kickoff, because we've got the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup final on later on, and it just gives a chance for everyone to go and celebrate what has been an amazing season for Peel, winning the Canada Life Premier League.
Indeed, and even after this weekend, Foxdale will still have one more game to play as well, see if they can climb the table. They'll certainly be hoping so. Well, Tony, you alluded to it just then. One other game taking place on Saturday, and it is an important one. The Ascot Hotel Junior Cup Final. For those who don't know, the Junior Cup for combination sides across Canada Life Combination 1 and Ardern and Drug Unlimited Combination 2. We are down to the last two. They'll do Battle at the Bowl tomorrow. This is a 5:30 p.m. kickoff as well, so slightly later on, between St John's United and Rushen United, Tony.
Yeah, it's a tough one, this one, because when you look at the two teams, they're right up there in the top four of the league, and Rushen United, probably slight favourites at the moment. I watched them in extra time last Sunday against St Mary's, and they finished it off nicely in the end, and some good footballers in there, some young players coming through. They've got experience in there as well. I just wonder if Jordan Watterson's recovered, because he seemed to take a knock last week, and hopefully he's back in because he scored some important goals for them. Tony Harris as well is in goals. A lot of experience in him to try and stop St John's from scoring. But when you look at the amount of goals that St John's have scored in this competition, 5 against Ayr, they really are in a rich vein of form. And when you look at people like Liam Sale, who's been banging them in for 4 and hat-trick for him last week. And when I looked at the team, there's a little bit of age in there, but there's also a lot of experience. And when you look at Matthew Beattie in goal, I think it was him that single-handedly in the penalty shootout managed to get St Mary's through in a previous round, St John's in a previous round. But I think just right the way through, John Hagerden's in there, Peter Callow at the back. You've got Robert Callow as well, who's himself and Peter seem to have formed a real good partnership. Then I think St John's can do this, but I'm going to go just on what I saw last week in that extra time for Rushen United and go for Rushen to take it. But I think it will go into extra time.
I was going to say, just very quickly before we move on, looking at those two sides, there were 13 points that separated these two in the league, Rushen United in second and St John's United in fourth. But when you consider that St John's United on the way to this final knocked out the defending champions Ramsey on penalties in the quarterfinals as well. So they've certainly got some mettle about them up against what were the reigning Junior Cup champions.
Well, they have, and I think Will Brown's got a really good team there. And it's just a question of getting it together against Rushen United. Now, Rushen United are very young, so that might just play into the more experienced players of St John's. But then I look at Rushen United, from what I saw last week, they're full of running, as where the older players in St John's might just find the surface and the size of the ball a little bit too much on their energy. But it's a great afternoon it's going to be. It kicks off at 5:30 because the youth games are on, and hopefully, we know the weather's going to be good, but hopefully there'll be a good crowd and plenty of support there for both teams.
And we'll be hearing a little bit more about the Manx Youth Games later on in the show. Just the one game on Sunday, the Masters FA Cup semi-finals. A 2 o'clock kick-off between Onken and Ayr United, Tony. And as of earlier this week, there was still confirmation to be had on a venue. Have you got any more further details around that?
We hope we have. And our apologies, because we're struggling at the moment moving things around, because obviously we had a final set down for a week on Wednesday. And now that Manchester United and Tottenham have got to the final of the cup, then we've got to change that. So we're trying to work through this. Please be patient with us. It's not our ground. So it's a question of phoning up the NSC and as soon as we get the all clear to go. But it does look as if we've got the ball booked for a week this Sunday, and it'll be probably 2:45 kickoff. We've got the facility from 2. And Colby are in the waiting to see who's going to win this one. And when you look at the league was won by Onken, you've got to fancy them. But Ayr United have some really good players in that team as well. And if they can get 12-13 out, then they can pose a threat. But I think Onken will win it.
Tony Mappin, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, we're going to turn our attention to the Isle of Man athletics scene now, which has continued to be a hive of activity in recent weeks. Much more is planned with regards to local fixtures in the coming weeks around upcoming Isle of Man TT races, of course. And one event in particular will be on many people's radars this summer. Around the usual schedule, the 2025 Ireland Games in Orkney are looming in July, with the Manx athletics squad for the event having been recently announced. Well, I've been catching up again with local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths to get his take on that team and what we can expect on the domestic calendar in the short term. One of the biggest bits of news that we've had since we last spoke with you was that the Isle of Man's athletics team for the 2025 Ireland Games has been announced. For those who haven't seen the details yet, could you just give us a quick summary of the athletes who are going to be taking part?
Yes, by all means. It's always a really exciting time for athletics on the Isle of Man. I think with the exception of the Commonwealth Games, where we obviously have a smaller team, but this is the biggest representative team that we send to any event. So a slightly smaller team than we had in Guernsey. It's a team of 24 this time, 12 men, 12 women. So it's an even split. And it looks like a really strong team. Running through the men's squad, we've got distance runners Mark Berman and Jordan Kane. We've got sprinter Daniel Clegg, Regan Corrin. It's almost hard to describe him, really. A multi-event athlete who's good at absolutely everything. His elder brother Ryan Corrin, who's a middle distance runner. Matt Davis, 400 metres. Corrin Leeming, who was the gold medalist in Guernsey in the half marathon. Got Sam Perry, middle distance runner. Corbin Sharder and Lucas Stennett in the 5,000 metres. Seb Skiriditis, who's a long jumper. And Ben Sinclair, who's a sprinter. And quite a few of those are obviously in the relay squads as well. And then on the women's side, we've got distance runners Dawn Atherton, Krista Kane and Emily Milchreist. We've got 400 metre hurdler Amy Christian, who is bronze medalist in Guernsey. Hope Lewis, who's a middle distance runner. Lydia Morris, who's a sprinter, as is Lucy Ormsby and Megan Pilley. Carla Teese is also a sprinter. We've got Tegan Thompson, who's a high jumper. Georgia Price, who is formerly a very successful gymnast and is now taking up athletics, and she's in the jumping events. And we've got Jessica Schroeder in the triple jump.
And a handful of athletes among the names you've mentioned there, and the majority of those in the half marathon event as well, aren't there?
Yes, we've actually, of the 24 athletes, there are 11 debutants altogether. And in fact, five of the six half marathon runners are debutants as far as the Island Games is concerned. But we should say they're all very experienced athletes who won't be remotely fazed about the level of competition. And I think I think the teams are looking strong.
Just looking at some of those, I mean, especially the women's side of things, Krista Kane, we've all heard about her exploits in marathon running, but of course, Dawn Atherton as well, who's been right at the sharp end for plenty of time now as well. Elsewhere across the squad, you did mention a couple of names there that already have that Island Games experience, and some of them are still quite young as well. So they'll have picked up some valuable traits from when they went to Guernsey just under 2 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. When we were in Guernsey 2 years ago, we had a very young and inexperienced squad because it was the first Island Games for 4 years. They all acquitted themselves brilliantly. Not just the people like Regan Corrin and Corin Leeming, who won gold medals on their debuts, but also the other young debutants who maybe didn't win medals, but they just gained so much experience. You know, they acquitted themselves superbly all through the week, not just in competition, but just the way they approached the whole week. And I think the 2 years' experience that they've had since then will make a huge difference, and they will all be very competitive this time.
Yeah, there were several impressive debuts across the board. My mind goes to some of what the men's and women's relay teams did over out on the athletics track as well. Away from that, though, let's take a look. We'll just have a think about some of the names that aren't there. There are some notable names that won't be involved this year at the Island Games.
Well, there are, yeah. I mean, I feel really sorry for the athletes who have been building up for the Island Games, particularly the potential debutants who have had to withdraw through injury. You know, there are one or two of those, but hopefully they're on the road to recovery. And, you know, this event comes around every 2 years, so I hope they can stay motivated and, you know, focus on the Faroe Islands in 2 years' time. But yeah, we're missing Ollie Lockley from the half marathon, but again, you know, we have some very able replacements there. One notable absentee is Rachel Franklin, who will be missing for the first time since she made her debut in 2007. She's on the way back from injury, and hopefully in 2 years' time she'll be back as well. But I think we should say that all the athletes who have been picked are more than capable of filling the gaps, and I think it'll be a very competitive squad in Orkney in July.
Well, no doubt those athletes will have all their respective preparations to come over the coming months. Speaking of preparations, I mean, to a certain extent really, taking a look back at the local scene, there's still plenty coming up in and around the small matter of the Isle of Man TT races.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, looking at the fixture list over the next week, it's I would describe it almost as manic. We've got fixtures nearly every day over the next week, and then we've got a big break over TT where there are no fixtures, so the officials and the athletes will get a bit of a rest. But we start off this evening with the second round of the Northern AC Ramsey Park Run down at the Murrig Park, and then over the weekend is the Lancashire Track and Field Championships, where, although I haven't seen a detailed list of who's competing, there'll be athletes from Manx Harriers, Northern and Western AC, right through the age groups who will be competing. We always bring back a good haul of medals from that event, and I'm sure it'll be no different this time. On Sunday morning, the Manx Fell Runners host the latest round of the Fell Running League, and that is the Cronk Neary Lay Fell Race, which is over a new course, a new route, which starts and finishes in the Niarbal area. Very scenic, but a tough climb up to the summit of Cronk Neary Lay, down to the bottom of the Slock, back up to the top of the hill again, and back to Niarbal via a slightly different route. So that should be good, especially if the weather's nice. Then on Wednesday evening, we have already the third round of the Isle of Man Track and Field League. The first two rounds were early because of the Island Games selection and to give people a chance to achieve standards. So that's on Wednesday evening. Then on Thursday evening, Manx Harriers have their 5 kilometre road running event, which is both a run and a race walk. So they'll be taking place on the NSC roadway on Thursday evening. Then on Friday, down at Peel, we've got the second round of the Dave Phillips running series, which is based on the promenade and, for the older athletes, uses the headlands course. And then on Saturday, the 17th of May, we have the opening round of the Northern League, which is the Isle of Man. It's not actually a representative team as in the sense of the Island Games, but it's basically an association of athletes from Manx Harriers, Northern and Western AC, who formed Team Isle of Man. They got promoted to the Western Premier Division last season, so they'll be competing in a higher level of competition this year. And the opening round a week on Saturday is at Witton Park in Blackburn. And the teams, our opponents in that division this season, will be Blackburn Harriers, Sale Harriers, Southport Waterloo, Trafford and West Cheshire. So it's good quality of competition, and that will certainly help to prepare the athletes not only for the Island Games, but just for their futures, really.
Coming back to the idea of preparation, like you say, it's not just the Island Games, but no doubt will be a big focus for a lot of these athletes this summer. A manic schedule, as you've mentioned there, leading up to TT, and there's plenty of other things to come afterwards as well. How important is it that these athletes, however they go about their preparations, manage them properly so that they're putting themselves in the best condition possible to head to Orkney?
Well, I think the key is to be in the best possible shape in July, not necessarily in May. I know we've had some athletes who have had to achieve standards by the end of April in order to gain selection, but hopefully the athletes who have been very busy at the start of the season will have an opportunity to have a little bit of a break, maybe sometime fairly soon, and then start the proper build-up to July. It's really important, like, not to burn out, you know, sort of maybe achieve your best form in May, and then by the time you get to July, you're sort of burnt out. So that's where the coaches, you know, the quality of good coaching comes in, where the coaches can manage the workload of the athletes and the training programs, which are tailored to being at the peak at the right time. And that's I'm sure that's what will happen.
Manx Radio Sport.
Local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths there with a bit of an insight into the Isle of Man athletics team heading to this summer's Island Games in Orkney, which are due to take place from the 12th to the 18th of July. 24 athletes in total, 11 of those, so nearly half will be debutants, so no doubt will be a fantastic experience for all of those involved. Well, we're going to take a look at hockey, and whilst the local season finished a couple of weekends ago, we had the Isle of Man Ladies B squad involved in an England Hockey Championship final last weekend. The hockey action for the Isle of Man isn't over just yet, because the Isle of Man men's squad are preparing to take on the 2025 England Hockey Men's County Championships this weekend. Well, following relegation from the top tier of the competition last time out, the Manx side will compete in the Tier 2 event across Saturday and Sunday, so the 10th and 11th of May at Nottingham Hockey Centre. And just to take a look through what we expect, or what we hope is maybe in store from an Isle of Man perspective, is our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham. So Ben, first of all, for the Isle of Man men's squad, it feels like an eternity since they were last at these county championships, but it must have, I suppose, with a busy season that's just happened to some of them, it might have rolled around quite quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they'll be delighted that they're back in action again, like you say. Obviously, the domestic leagues have all come to a conclusion now. So to get this county's championship run out will definitely keep them happy.
And looking at the group they'll be coming up against, yes, they dropped out of the top tier, which is a fantastic achievement in itself, coming up against some of the best players in England and the UK, for that matter, in that tournament in the top tier. Into Tier 2, though, it's not going to be any walk in the park, because you look at the teams they've got to face: Derbyshire on Saturday, along with Cumbria and Leicestershire, and then a UK Armed Forces side on the Sunday. Just a reminder on the format as well, it's the team that finishes top of the group will be crowned the winner. There's no knockout format following the group phase this time around, but no doubt an exciting challenge for these players that, from the Isle of Man at least, there are a couple of off-island players, have just come to the end of the local season.
Absolutely, and there's some big names in the squad who've made headlines throughout the season. The likes of Alex Andrews, he was the top goal scorer in the Men's Premier League this season, so the team will definitely be looking to him for potentially goals. Again, looking at the going forward, Andrew Whiting, again, another player who's really good at getting goals in the back of the net. And then defensively, you've got the likes of George Harrison, to name a few. It looks a really good, strong squad. And when I seen the squad come out earlier in the week, I thought to myself, that looks like they mean business.
And looking at some of the newer names that have come into the setup, who no doubt will have been training with the team for a certain amount of time, just looking compared to maybe the squad previously as well, you look at like Reese Williams coming from Valkyries, also in there as well, Tom Lothian of Backers, Oscar Lace of Valkyries. Like I say, no doubt these players will have been training with the squad throughout the season as well, but just starting to see a few new faces creeping in, which is encouraging.
Absolutely, and it's great to see. There's lots of familiar faces, but also some new ones as well, filling, getting into the squad. Like you say, you named a few there, John Ferrells as well, to name another. Yeah, it looks really good, and it's great, as I normally say every time we talk about the off-island teams, it's great to see a good selection of players from different clubs around the island.
And just finally, Ben, got around 30 seconds here, but I'm not going to ask you to make any predictions because, of course, we don't know too much about the opposition the Isle of Man will be coming up against. But how confident do you think they'll be that they could maybe get themselves back into Tier 1 for next season if they are able to win this group?
I think they'll be very confident, definitely. They're looking really strong. The team looks strong. The morale will definitely be up. And, if they want to take the encouragement of the ladies last weekend, okay, they just narrowly lost on their shuffles last weekend in the final, but they'll want to take that encouragement of representing the island as well going forward.
Ben, thank you very much indeed. Our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham there. And a reminder as well, if you want some details on, you want to see the squad in full that the Isle of Man will be sending to the county championships this weekend, and also their schedule in terms of pushback times for all four games, I should say, that they'll be playing, head on over to the Manx Radio Sports Hub at manxradio.com. Well, finally tonight, I should say, tomorrow, hundreds of island youngsters are expected to take part in the 2025 Manx Youth Games. The annual event sees children from school years 2 up to 10 take part in one of 16 sports throughout the day across the NSC and Douglas and Braddon areas. Well, one of the game's organisers is Manx Sport and Recreation Sports Development Officer Gareth Lloyd, and he explains that once again this year, while sport can by its very nature be competitive, that isn't the main aim of the games. First off, for those who don't know and maybe haven't heard our previous conversations, could you just give us a bit of a summary of what the Manx Youth Games are all about?
The Manx Youth Games is a multi-sport event which we try and break down the barriers for young children to try and give new sports, give them a chance to try new sports. And so we start in January and have sessions all around the island, what they can access for a pound for about 15, 16 weeks up until May, first week in May, second week in May, where we have our main event where all the regions or sessions from around the island come together and participate in that sport together.
How many are we expected to take part in the games this year? And could you just give us an overview of some of the sport, well, all of the sports, I guess, that are going to be taking place?
Yeah, so normally we have around 1,000 participants on the day. We have done since COVID and getting back on, and it's gradually building. And this year we've had two new sports included into the Manx Youth Games. We've got our traditional hockey, swimming, table tennis, tennis, badminton, but then the two new sports this year are volleyball and race walking, which is, we're delighted to have. They've had a good uptake for the first year, so yeah, we're delighted to have them, and we'll see how they progress in the years to come.
A lot of sports are involved, but one of the key focuses of the Manx Youth Games is, even if someone doesn't want to do a sport competitively, it's a chance to socialise and get some exercise. How important does that message in particular still happen to be?
That's the main point of the Manx Youth Games. It's not about the competition side. It's just about getting or giving the opportunity for young people to try new sports. But it's not a lot of money. You manage to go and pay your pound, try a new sport, try it for a couple of weeks. I always try and say when I go into the schools doing the assemblies to not just give it one go and then not go again. It's to go at least five, six, seven times. And you never know, you meet people, different children from all around the island, because it's not a school-based thing. So you get to meet new people who maybe not be at your school. So it's an event for all them kind of aspects. The competitive side, obviously you have your individuals who get a little bit competitive from time to time, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's all about just giving young people the opportunity to try something what they might not particularly do.
Like you say, that's one of the key focuses, is the just the social side of it. But if there are those that are more competitive, we have seen some top Isle of Man athletes come through the likes of the Manx Youth Games. So if you are competitive, it can be a platform to drive your interest and passion in a sport, can't it?
Yeah, massively. It just gives you that first little step into the sport where you might think, it for one thing, it might help getting it in your social calendar with your parents, getting that's making it easy for them to get you down. They may know people as well down there and meet other parents and start chatting. But then it's just building them little blocks for first. They have to enjoy the sport, and this is the opportunity where young people can come and start enjoying and have that fun aspect in sport before it gets to them heights.
Obviously, in the last couple of years, we've seen, you know, cost of living rise here on the Isle of Man and around the world, but the fact that it is a pound per session, trying to, you know, in some way trying to make it affordable as well for families who may be feeling the pinch at times as well. How important is that?
It's massively important. It's been a pound since it originated back all them years ago when Gianni started this with Paul and Ivanum. It's something what we've very thankful to our sponsors of at Sporting Club, who give us the opportunity to keep the cost down so long, and sponsors before them, obviously. But yeah, it's one of the main barriers what we try and make sure is no pressure at all for families at home.
Coming to the day itself on Saturday, we'll be hopeful that it'll be like the weather that we've had throughout this week, if that's the case. Just on the occasion itself, obviously a lot of preparation goes into it, but just tell us a little bit about what the atmosphere is like when the Manx Youth Games actually get underway.
Oh, it's fantastic. The weather does make it even better. Since I've taken over, I'm not going to jinx it, but we've had decent weather. Years before, my predecessor Gianni always looks at me and shakes his head because of the number of years where it's rained or been dull or drizzly in the morning. He's done it for over 20 years, and then now I've come in over the past 3 or 4 years and managed to have a little bit of luck with the sun. And again, the environment in the morning when all the parents are down and we have our big procession with the children representing the sports. Yeah, it's a great feel down at the NSC on the morning and throughout the day.
For anyone who's maybe looking to support youngsters they know and wants to help out, or like I said, just wants to enjoy the occasion, where can people find out more details about when and where the different sports are taking place?
All our information is on our website, on the MSR.gov website, and then on the Manx Youth Games section of that, it's bannered along the top. And then within that page, it has information about how the day is just going to run in general for all sports. But then if you click on each sport, there's a little bit on each sports page, because they have individual pages where it just says information about the day, and then that gives you a little bit more information of how that sport's going to run on the day and the finish times of that sport, because all the sports from 11 o'clock they go on and off and then run the competition themselves. They do the hard work throughout the last couple of weeks and then they round it off with the competition.
That's Gareth Lloyd, the Sports Development Officer at Manx Sport and Recreation. Well, tomorrow's opening ceremony for the Manx Youth Games will take place at 10 a.m. at the NSC. Full information on the day for participants and spectators can be found online at www.msr.gov.im. That's all we have time for this evening. Have yourself a wonderful Friday evening and a wonderful weekend, whatever you're doing as well. But from me and the team, until next time, it's bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.